Well, we are glad to see you here, and we are going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 today, and while you're turning there, I am sad to report that of all the things we have to cut to save time this morning, memes of the week are it. Yeah, I figured we'd get some people unhappy about that, so... But maybe next week we'll have a meme for you. I know we will in 2 weeks, so, anyway. We are going to take Lord's Supper here this morning. It's going to look a little bit different, and I'm going to talk about that here a little bit later. But 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is this pretty incredible passage. It's actually the passage I read from every time we take it. And what I want to do in the few minutes that I've got here this morning is I want us to look at this passage, and I want to break it down the way Warren Wiersbe does in his commentary series that he has. So he has it's a B series. Every little thing is B something because it stands for biblical expository or something like that. But this is B wise is what he actually has for 1 Corinthians. And I love his breakdown. So we're going to kind of look at that a little bit, but I want to go ahead and read this. You should have had enough time to turn there. 1 Corinthians 11, we're going to read verses 23 through 34. And it says this, "For what I received from the Lord, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sin against the body and the blood of the Lord.'" Did you catch that? Let me read that again. It says, "Whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sin against the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself. In this way, let him eat the bread and drink from the cup. For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many are sick and ill among you, and many have fallen asleep. If we are properly judging ourselves, we would not be judged, but when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat, welcome one another. If anyone is hungry, you should eat at home, so when you gather together, you'll not come under judgment. I will give instructions about other matters whenever I come." You should know that this is part of a longer discussion where Paul's been talking to the church about how they take Lord's Supper. You can read more about it in chapter 10 and all that sort of thing. There's not time to dive into the depths of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 today. But real quick, I want us to see four things. It's four ways that we should be looking, four different directions that you see in this passage. And the first one is that you should simply look back, right? It's the Lord's Supper is all about looking back. Remember, this is why Jesus even says, "Do this in remembrance of me." You know what it takes to remember something? You're looking backwards, right? I mean, there is a very real part about when we gather together, it's to remember. This morning, we're going to be taking the Lord's Supper a little bit differently. We're actually going to have the whole ministerial staff up here, and they're going to be reading different scriptures. You're going to hear scriptures, and all it is just straight scripture. They're not going to read the scripture references. If you want to know those, you can steal one of their scripts. They'll be happy to give them to you if you wanted to know where all those scripture references are. But they're going to read things from Passover instructions. They're going to read things from when the night that Jesus is arrested, because it's about remembering and it's about seeing what we saw in the three questions, this eternal covenant, this covenant that God has made. And it relates to Passover. It relates to the death and the resurrection of Jesus. It relates to all of that. And y'all, there's just something that we need to remember. And that's what this day is about. That's what this meal is about. It's remembering what Jesus did for you. It's about remembering that he died. I mean, that's the essential part of the entire message. And I love 1 Corinthians 15, a little bit later, just a few chapters later in verses 3 through 4, he says, "For what I passed on to you, the most important that I had received, that Christ died according to our sins," as we looked at all this here a minute ago, he says, "For what I received from the Lord, what I also passed on to you," and the night when he was betrayed, he takes bread. This is such a huge thing. In chapter 15, he says, "For I passed on the most important that I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." It's just not about the life of Jesus or his teachings that will save sinners. And I want you to catch this. It's not all the things that Jesus said that can save you and give you a spot in heaven. It's his death and his resurrection. That's what we're here to remember. We have to remember why he died. Actually, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says this. It says, for he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, having died to sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. This is about remembering those wounds, that broken body, that shed blood. It's about remembering that. I love Romans 5:8 that says, but God proves his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, while we still didn't deserve it, Jesus died for us. That's what we're remembering. It's about looking back. It's about seeing all of this. It's not recalling the historical facts. It's participating in spiritual realities. This is huge. This isn't just about remember the history. This is about you being a part of that story. So I want you to understand that it's not just about looking back, but it's about looking back, realizing that story is still ongoing. Because there's a real part here that it's still taking part. We are looking ahead. Did you catch this in verse 26? How long did you say continue to take the Lord's Supper? We put it up there on the screen. You proclaim the Lord's death, what? Until he comes, right? This is an ongoing thing. It's not just about looking back, but it's about looking forward. It's about looking ahead. For as often as you eat this bread, for as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We are part of an ongoing conversation. We are part of an ongoing story of God. 1 John 3 actually says this. I love 1 John 3. I want to go back to verse 1. It says, see what great love the Father has given us, that we should be called God's children. And we are. The reason the world doesn't know us is that it doesn't know him. Verse 2 says, dear friends, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet been revealed. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure, just as Jesus is pure. Look, it's about looking ahead, right? It's not just realizing that this isn't just about history. This is part of an ongoing story, and you are part of that story. And we're going to proclaim the death and the resurrection of Jesus until he comes again. That's what this little supper is about. But it's also about looking within. That's actually even the major part of what you see in the 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. It's very much about looking at who you are. And I want you to see here for a minute. Paul did not say that you had to be worthy to take the supper, just so you would take it in a worthy manner. That's a big deal, right? He says, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner. Is there a big difference between being worthy and taking it in an unworthy manner? If we were going to be worthy, if you had to be worthy to take this, who's going to take this? Right? None of us, right? That's what it's about. It's about recognizing that. And we need to take a good hard look at ourselves, because when we take it in a worthy manner, we recognize the high cost that this little piece of bread, this little wafer, that this little piece of grape juice here represents the blood and the body of Jesus that died for you. And in a manner worthy, as you take a good hard look at your life, you judge your hearts, you judge your sins, you confess all of this to God. And y'all, this is what's so fascinating when you read 1 Corinthians. The Corinthians, these are people that lived in Corinth. They were not so good at looking at themselves, but they were really good about looking at all the sins of everyone else, right? They were really good about examining other people, examining everyone else. And Paul's going, look, man, when it comes to this, it's not about them. It's not about them. It's not about them. It's not about anybody, but it's about you. Take a good, hard look at yourself. And sometimes that's not an easy thing to do, is it? Anybody like to do some good self-introspection? Oh, there's nothing I hate worse on the planet than having to take a good, hard look at myself. All my faults, all my sins, and just lay them all out before God. But that's what Paul is saying we should do. And I think part of the reason why is because, you know, that's not an easy thing. I've got to speed up here, y'all. So I just want to read this scripture. This is actually Hebrews 12, verses 9 through 13. And here's what Paul said. It's a pretty incredible thing, but he's been talking about when you go through hard times. He's been talking about times even when you are disciplined by God. You know, anybody hate being disciplined, right? We hate that, right? And he's been talking about that. He's been talking about how we all hate that. But verse 7, it says, endure this as discipline because God is dealing with you as sons. You get to verse 12, and it says this. It says, verse 9, it says this. We had human fathers, furthermore, we had human fathers discipline us, and we respected them. Shouldn't we submit even more to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time based on what seemed good to them, but he does it for our benefit, so that we might share his holiness. No discipline seems enjoyable at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your tired hands and weakened knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but healed instead. And I love this picture. And you know what I was thinking about as reading this scripture this week? I was thinking about our Run for God class. Y'all, these 41 people that are doing this, it's pretty amazing because over 12 weeks, they're going to go out and they're going to run 3.1 miles. And y'all, there are times where you absolutely hate it. The sore muscles, the tiredness, the wearing you out. It is so hard. But why do you do it? Because it helps you. Because it's making you stronger. And that's the same picture that you see here. This is what Jesus is trying to do. This is what God is trying to do in your life. It's about his holiness and you looking more like him. And y'all, it's not easy, I know. But I think it's so important that we strengthen our tired hands and our weakened knees and make those paths straight and do the very thing that God has called us to do. That's what a manner worthy of this meal looks like. It's recognizing that Jesus wants to change you, that God wants you to be more like him, and you can be. When you don't deal with that, it's kind of insulting to the death that Jesus went through. He's like, you know, I went through all of that for you. It was painful, it was hard, and I did it because I love you. That's what this is looking like. That's what this looking within is really all about. And the last thing that Dr. Wiersbe says, is it's about looking around us, right? Notice actually even what he said. He said, therefore, my brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat, welcome one another. That may seem like a small deal to you, but man, that was a big deal to the Corinthian church. They were not real good about being very welcoming to each other as they would take this meal. Actually, you see even back the previous chapter, I mentioned chapter 16 earlier. Here's what he has to remind them. He says, the cup of blessing that we bless is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, since us all share the one bread. And it's very much this picture. It's about unity of the church. And there was not unity to be found in the Corinthian church. And the Lord's Supper only became a demonstration of that. And so Paul, he addresses all those things. But I love this picture here because there's three different bodies that he's talking about. He's talking about your body. He's talking about the body of Christ. And he's talking about the family body. And all of it comes together in this one meal. All of it comes together in this one little sacrament that we do, this one important thing that we do. The Lord's Supper was intended to be a family meal. And the Lord of the family desires that we love each other, that we're there for each other, that we don't do this alone like Rusty was talking about. It's not the way that God has designed us to be. And I love the way John says it in 1 John 4, verse 11. He says, if God has loved us in this way, we must also love one another. Isn't that an amazing picture? If God loves you, then you have to love someone else. That's the math. That's the math. That's what happens when you let Jesus come and change you. And it all happens because of what Jesus did on a cross. It all happened because he died for you, but it all happened because he rose again.